Alzheimer's disease affects many people here in our state and, of course, across the country. And we have a couple of guests with us to talk about Alzheimer's. Dr. Cindy Carlson is director of the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Institute. Dr. Cindy Carlson, welcome to you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And with us as well, Bill Stork. Well, I always call him Dr. Bill because, but he's a veterinarian, not a medical doctor. But he is a Lake Mills veterinarian and is organizing a fundraiser for Alzheimer's research, which is why he's one of the reasons he's with us today. So looking forward to talking with them about the disease, and I hope you'll join in and with your own thoughts, questions, comments. How has Alzheimer's affected your family? Perhaps. Give us a call, the number 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Dr. Carlson, turn to you first. What causes Alzheimer's and how does it typically progress for people?
That's a great question. A lot of people start with wondering how dementia is different than Alzheimer's. And dementia is a term where we see what we see, describe what we see in the person. So if somebody has memory problems, thinking problems, and it affects their day-to-day function, so maybe they're not just forgetting their car keys, but getting lost, getting somewhere, or can't balance their checkbook or you know, navigate their usual activities they usually do. That's what we see in the person. That's the dementia. And then we have to figure out what's causing the dementia. And that's where Alzheimer's comes in, because Alzheimer's is the most common type of dementia. And it's really the main things that we've seen are that it's caused by these two proteins, amyloid and tau. And what they do is they build up in the brain. They cause the nerve cells in the brain not to function as well. And then that affects our thinking abilities. And so where in the brain it occurs depends on if it's going to cause memory problems, trouble finding words, or other thinking processes,
probably. Yeah, and it progresses.
Or it does progress.
It always progresses, doesn't it?
If it's truly Alzheimer's disease, it always progresses, yeah.
Yeah, my mother passed away of Alzheimer's, and it was it wasn't a fun experience at all. Bill, I was just going to add, you have a family history with it as well.
I do, to the extent that when my grandpa had Alzheimer's. We didn't even call it Alzheimer's. They called it hardening of the arteries. And I have some god-awful memories of my grandpa during that time.
Yeah. I'm wondering, here's Bill and I. We have family with Alzheimer's. What's the potential impact for a sibling or a relative, a close relative of somebody with Alzheimer's?
That's a great question. And again, I have Alzheimer's in my family too. And actually, most people in our research program do, and that's why we're doing this work. But again, my great-grandmother had memory problems when she was in her mid-90s. And then her daughter, my grandmother, started getting memory problems in her early 70s. And so that's what got me thinking, why did one person get to live to be in their mid-90s before they got memory problems, and then this next generation having it happen so early on? And so there's a lot of things we're trying to better understand. It does tend to run in families in some cases. There's some, thankfully, pretty rare conditions where people will have Alzheimer's like in half of their siblings, and that's usually, thankfully, pretty rare, and those are different genetic types. But most of the time, what we're talking about is just Alzheimer's that tends to happen more typically in our 70s, 80s, but it can happen earlier. It can happen in their 50s and 60s. And so there's so many factors that contribute. So we're trying to figure out what are the lifestyle factors, what are the other genetic factors and other things so we can really chip away at reducing risk for Alzheimer's disease.
So there is some genetic
yes.
mm-hmm. component to it. And lifestyle component?
There's lifestyle, too. There's we know all those things that we're told to do, exercise, eat healthy, lower fats, get good rest. They do all these studies to show us that all those things are good for our brain as well as good for our heart and cancer reduction, things like that, too.
Yeah. you know, mention a question or comment or an experience to share, give a call, 800-642-1234. You can email the talk at WPR.org. And Bill, you raise money for Alzheimer's research.
Bill got it started. And to be clear about this situation, you said Dr. Stork organized it. Dr. Stork came up with the idea. Anything that resembles organization is thanks to my wife, Sheila, and the team that she has assembled behind her. So let's be absolutely clear about that. And then Bill's got a somewhat of a platform. And by my way of thinking, if you have a platform, you ought to use it for good in some way, shape, or form. And that's become Alzheimer's. And there have been a number of people who have stepped up. I mean, there's names like Joe Tritton and our buddy Dan, Sylvia Sipple, who have stepped up in very big ways. There are sponsors like Thompson Investment Advisors, Matthew Pomerantz, in town, local businesses like SAMFT, accounting services. And there are people who have given $5, and we are equally grateful for every single solitary nickel.
And we'll talk some more about that as we go along, because you do some bike touring.
If I have to.
Oh, man. What's the financial picture when it comes to research dollars relating to this, Dr. Carlson?
It had about 10 years ago, there's a big push with research funding for Alzheimer's disease, which was amazing because then it drew in people from all different disciplines, creative ideas, to kind of think about how we approach Alzheimer's. And we made some great progress there. In the last several years, it's been, especially over this past year or so, it's really become more challenging for people to get research funding, because a lot of it we depend on National Institutes of Health and other federal funding, and that's just, that landscape's changed. So what we're trying to do is think about new partnerships, new ways to fund research opportunities. And this is where, you know, people like Bill, who come up with these ideas for fundraising, are so important, because they help us kind of bridge those gaps when the grants are just redistributed. So it's still there, but the funding for Alzheimer's has gone down, which slows down progress, unfortunately.
Also
affects junior, like young investigators who are interested in maybe choosing Alzheimer's discovery as a field for themselves. So
how much have, let's say the last 20 years, how much have we improved our understanding of Alzheimer's?
It has been amazing 20 years. If the first 100 years after Alzheimer's discovered, the plaques and tangles were slow, but there's progress made. The last 20 years, now we have new therapies that actually go after the underlying cause, the amyloid. We have new biomarkers or blood tests that can tell us if someone is at risk for Alzheimer's disease. And we have a lot better understanding that Alzheimer's usually doesn't happen by itself in the brain. There's usually other causes that are mixed in there. So it's increased our understanding that we got to target these other factors too, or else we're not going to help keep the brain healthy if we're only going after Alzheimer's.
Yeah. And we're going to be at the bottom of the hour today. We're going to be spending a half hour talking about the blood testing that is available now, because that's kind of fascinating stuff in and of itself. So it's dementia, and then it's diagnosed as Alzheimer's. What's the diagnosis process? I mean, how does somebody land in that?
That's a great question. So we have one little plug, is that we have memory clinics throughout the state. So our Wisconsin Alzheimer's Institute has memory clinics throughout the state. So if people are looking for ways to get diagnosed, those clinics, we work closely with them. So that's on our website as well. But what people usually do is they'll come in and share a memory complaint with their primary care provider, and either the primary care provider or another clinic team will talk with them and figure out what's happened first. Is it memory? Is it language changes? And really get a sense of how these memory changes have affected that person's life. So a lot of it is talking with patients and families, getting a full picture of what's happening. And then a lot of diagnosis before recently was just ruling out other things. So do they have bad sleep apnea? Do they have medication side effects or other things that are affecting their thinking abilities, and cleaning that up? And then a lot of times before, it was just kind of a process of elimination. Look, there's no other medical causes. It's probably Alzheimer's. So we could never really kind of be sure that it was Alzheimer's, we kind of guessed. But when you talk with Dr. Chin later today, he'll be able to talk about the advances in those blood tests and some of the brain scans that help us to say, is this really Alzheimer's or not?
Boy. And the treatments, there really is not a cure.
There's not a cure right now. There's a couple of pills that have been available, some medications that have been available for about 20 years, and they do help the nerve cells in the brain function better, but they don't really get rid of the root cause of the condition. The new therapies, the last 2 years or several years, there have been two new therapies that are given through the veins, and what they do is they go in and they clear out the amyloid. So they clear out one of the key processes that we know contributes to Alzheimer's. And it slows down memory decline in addition to the pills. But even with those therapies that have been pretty breakthrough, they still doesn't stop the decline or make people's memory better. So that's where we have work to do still.
Stephen in Eau Claire, thanks for calling.
Hi. I was at had family member with Alzheimer's. And I also read about and studied with Dale Bredesen. And I wonder if you had any experience with his research and his outcomes.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, Dale Bredesen has pulls together a lot of research ideas and different therapies and things that can be pulled together to help live a healthier lifestyle. And there are some things that have been good evidence behind that, controlling blood pressure and other healthy lifestyle factors that we can get back to. And
yeah, we'll get back. Thanks a lot, Stephen, for calling. Appreciate it. We're going to take a quick look at the news and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then we'll be back with our two guests, Dr. Cynthia Carlson and Bill Stork. Great to have them with us. And I hope you'll join in with your questions as well. We'll be back right after the news. I'm Larry Mueller. Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here talking Alzheimer's disease and some events, or a big event that's coming up that we want to talk about as well. Two guests for you, Dr. Cynthia Carlson, professor of geriatrics and gerontology at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. She directs the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Institute, co-leader of the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. And Bill Stork, Dr. Bill Stork, is a veterinarian, owner and operator of Lake Mills Veterinary Clinic, fundraiser for Alzheimer's research at UW-Madison through the Mines Over Mountains bike tour. And he's even got a Mines Over Mountain shirt on today. So it's great to have that as well. Yeah, lots of callers online. And I know you, Dr. Carlson, you wanted to mention or talk perhaps a little bit more about Dale Bredesen, who was an earlier caller had mentioned.
Right, yeah. So I think, you know, Dale Bredesen, and then there's some other people who really are trying to find out other complementary therapies that they can do or lifestyle changes they can do to help with their risk for Alzheimer's disease. And so, you know, there are a lot of studies out there, but there's really not too much data, good evidence behind a lot of the complementary therapies yet. There's a good website NIH has, so National Institutes of Health has a complementary medicine website people can go to look at the evidence. But there are a few things that are proven. So exercise, walking, controlling blood pressure. So any kind of movement and blood pressure control are extremely helpful. There's a lot of other therapies looking at different things, you know, different studies looking at curcumin and other extracts, but those aren't proven yet. So there's things in the works, but not great evidence so far.
Mindy in Janesville has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Mindy.
Hi there. My mom hasn't been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, but she was diagnosed some time ago with vascular dementia, and then sometime after that with Parkinson's. And I've seen her brain scans when they said that vascular dementia, you know, she's had some mini strokes and there's a lot of vascular changes, but her mind is still sort of seems with it. And then it's kind of seems sort of like made more sense when they gave us the Parkinson's diagnosis. I haven't talked to her doctor as much since that diagnosis, but do they go hand in hand? Can she have both? Are there different treatments for both of those conditions?
Sure.
Does it make sense for her to have vascular dementia and still pass memory tests?
Yeah, Mindy, you're bringing up an excellent question, because we used to only think that people had one type or the other. We think people had Alzheimer's, or they had vascular, or Lewy body dementia. And now we realize about 75% or more of people with dementia have what we call mixed pathologies, or a variety of causes all at the same time. So that your mom has some brain changes from vascular disease in her brain and Parkinson's, that makes sense, because sometimes the vascular changes actually can trigger Parkinson's-like symptoms. Sometimes they can just occur in, you know, both conditions in the same person. So I think talking with her doctor makes a lot of sense, just to see what's the best treatment for her. You know, treatment of the blood vessel risk factors and treatment of the Parkinson's symptoms. But it's much more common than we used to think. So it's a great question.
Thanks, Mindy. Appreciate it. John in Manitowoc, what's on your mind?
Good afternoon. I guess I'm going to talk a little bit about the advocacy piece, if I may. Throughout the summer and then into fall, Walk to End Alzheimer's, sponsored by Alzheimer's Association, gets going on. Manitowoc actually has theirs tomorrow. Information on our Facebook page. Anyway, I just found them to be a wonderful resource. My mom passed away about 10 years ago now from Alzheimer's. Her birthday is actually coming up June 10th, the 100th anniversary of that. And, just wanted to say it's a great community. It's a great place for support.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Comment on that?
The Alzheimer's Association has been a great advocacy group in helping to spread the word nationally. And there's a lot of other great local groups. So even events, you know, like what Bill's going to be leading this weekend, these types of events that increase awareness, help people not to feel alone, help them to find purpose in what they're doing and the journeys they're taking with their family members. So there's a lot of great organizations nationally and locally. Increasing awareness is always helpful.
And it seems like the perfect time, Bill, for you to talk about your event, Minds Over Mountains.
Well, absolutely, Larry. And to dovetail onto that, sure, we've made some money to help Cindy and the folks at the UW Initiative to End Alzheimer's. But I realized in the middle of the event last year that we had achieved our goal, and that is to bring people together, people who have been caregivers, which I will fly the flag of CNAs and hospice workers and people in nursing homes and gerontologists who help care for families and people affected. But the event, June the 14th, Tyrannina Brewing Company in Lake Mills, Wisconsin, we've made some very specific arrangements for perfect weather, 74 degrees and sunshine. If by some chance there's an absolute rainout, or if musical equipment is in danger, we will shovel down to the Pharmacy Public House in Lake Mills, Wisconsin. But live auction and silent auction, we have everything from literally, would it be Wisconsin if there was not a meat raffle? And a good friend Jason and Charlie Hunts have donated a quarter of a steer of beef from the south side of town to a Green Bay Packer bicycle from Two Rivers Bike and Sports in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. One of the coolest things, I've got a wonderful friend down in Rockford who owns a cable wake park, meaning you can go wakeboarding without a boat. And it's an awesome community. And Dan has donated for up to four riders, 2-hour learn to ride package at a wakeboard park in Rockford, Illinois. Down to, I built a chestnut wooden bench, more about that, what the heck else? several bottles of bourbon still. But consistent with the Wisconsin theme, but also do not forget, I'm confident a lot of your audience has heard the Jimmys, the blues, mm-hmm. funk, and soul award-winning, internationally acclaimed. And Jimmy Vaguely, the keyboard-playing monster, vocalist, and songwriter of the Jimmys, his family has been affected. So Tyrannina Brewing Company, doors open at 1. If there were doors, it's an outside event. And we'll get started at 1 o'clock with a tribute, and then we'll get out of the way and let the Jimmys go. And we're going to be live auctioning
a lot of things.
Six of the items off as well.
Now, here, I can't make it because it's Larry Mueller Day at the Mallards game.
It's always Larry Mueller Day.
And I get to throw out the first pitch and all that. So, but I noticed that you can make a donation online if you do not.
Conveniently enough, those arrangements have been made. And, of course, you can go. We don't really care who gets the credit so long as the donations go to the people who are doing the work. Because you mentioned the Alzheimer's organization. They are wonderful people. They have celebrities like Samuel L. Jackson out in front for them. The initiative is stuck with us low-budget foot soldiers like me, in which case you can go to the UW Initiative to End Alzheimer's or Minds Over Mountains, UW. Minds Over Mountains, UW. And it will take you right to our page, tell you a little bit about what we've been up to and how you can contribute.
And the money goes
to our research at UW-Madison. So we've been accused of being too modest in what we do here at UW, so maybe I'll try to take off my Midwestern hat. But again, we have a team at Wisconsin that is doing really important groundbreaking research and trying to find better blood tests, brain scans to find dementia earlier, way before memory symptoms start. So we have amazing researchers in, again, blood tests, imaging. We also have a huge array of clinicians who are doing research on how do these illnesses affect our day-to-day living? How do they affect caregivers? How do they affect families? And then we're doing therapy studies as well, so looking at different types of medications that attack amyloid and the other protein tau. We have studies that look at gut health. We have studies that look at exercise. We have all kinds of research studies and a really talented group of researchers. And it's not just the researchers. I think what's really unique about Wisconsin is this Wisconsin idea coming to life, that we have thousands and thousands of research participants who are behind this work, who are partnering with us, who are amazing advocates for this work. And then, you know, people like Bill and others who come around alongside of us and help contribute, raise awareness, and really put wind in our sails to keep us working on this area. But a lot of great research is happening right here in our backyard. So a shout out to my colleagues and the participants in our studies and the community members who are making that happen.
Yeah, and I'll even build on that because that was my entry point, because this started with a conversation with my friend Becky Jeffers, who very humbly said, hey, I work in this lab at the UW-Madison. Well, that lab you're about to hear from Dr. Chin was largely responsible for the FDA approving the use of blood biomarkers in Alzheimer's detection. And here again, Cindy lightly referred to the clinics around the state of Wisconsin. The clinics that Dr. Carlson established to educate caregivers is a model in the United States. People come to Wisconsin to learn how to help care for people with cognitive decline.
Amazing, amazing story here going on at Wisconsin, for sure. And Jason in Madison has a question for us. Let's go there. Jason, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. Appreciate you guys bringing attention to this. So my question regards the clotho protein. So I've heard some podcasts about this as being a potentially neuroprotective protein, and I understand there's some animal studies, but I was just kind of curious on the current state of that and if there's any human trials going on with that.
That's a great question. We have a colleague, Dr. Oziomo Okonkwo, who does studies on clotho gene. And so he and his lab and partners at University of California, San Francisco, have done a lot of research on that, helping to show how it affects humans, so in human studies. So I encourage you to look on our website. So at adrc.wisc.edu. And look at Dr. Oziomo Okonkwo's work. He is studying that actively.
All right. Thank you very much, Jason, for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, by the way. Number to call, 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or email to talk at WPR.org. Janice emailed to say that she heard on a show a person suggesting that Benadryl could cause Alzheimer's. Is there any evidence of that?
Well, Benadryl, the other name is diphenhydramine, and it's in a lot of pills that are available at the drugstore. So anything that says PM at the end has Benadryl in it. And Benadryl is a medicine that works pretty much exactly opposite to medicines that help with dementia, like Aricept or donepezil. So Benadryl makes people's thinking clouded. It affects the chemical balance in our brain. So we try to avoid using Benadryl or anything with PM in it at the end, like Tylenol PM. Tylenol itself is okay, but PM or Advil PM, trying to avoid that in people with memory concerns. Whether it truly causes it, that's not quite clear yet. But for sure, we recommend not using that if you have memory changes.
Theron emailed to say they understood that there was a connection between the use of aluminum and Alzheimer's. Theron's parents always said not to use aluminum pans, limit drinking out of aluminum cans, and avoid overcooking food in foil. Is there research on aluminum and its connection to Alzheimer's?
That is a great question. So there, decades ago, there was a lot of concern about aluminum contributing to Alzheimer's disease. But thankfully, there have been a lot of good research studies that show that cooking with aluminum, contact with aluminum products does not seem to have effect on Alzheimer's risk. So I use aluminum without any concerns at all. So I think it's pretty safe. Again, there's lots of evidence now, but that was a concern in the past. And so your parents were being cautious with what people knew at the time.
So are there, another email, are there ways to prevent Alzheimer's disease from John?
There's no established prevention right now with medicines, but there's a good study. It was called the U.S. Pointer Study that showed that exercise, staying cognitively healthy or staying cognitively active, eating healthy diet, like Mediterranean diet, that helps delay onset. So the lifestyle interventions have the best evidence so far, and controlling blood pressure. If you want to take away one message today, control your blood pressure for your brain health. There's two studies, though, that in the next year or two are going to be released to see if the medicines that help remove amyloid from the brain, so that lecanemab and donanemab, they're going to look and see if that helps prevent Alzheimer's. So no established prevention medicines yet. Lifestyle helps, and controlling blood pressure is very important.
So the prognosis of someone diagnosed with Alzheimer's, there's a question relating to that.
Yeah, the prognosis really depends on a lot of factors. So unfortunately, Alzheimer's always progresses if it's truly Alzheimer's. And again, you have to use the blood test that Dr. Chin's going to talk about to really support whether it's truly Alzheimer's or not. There's a lot of other things. You know, if somebody has sleep apnea, medication side effects, or like we were talking about before, if there's another type of brain change that's going on at the same time. So it really affects how people progress, how quickly it progresses. There's some types of dementia that we didn't even know about before. That's the abbreviation for it is called LATE because it stands for something really long, the limbic predominant age-associated TDP-43 encephalopathy. That's why we call it LATE. And that looked like Alzheimer's disease in people who are in their mid-80s. And then we found out that it was actually caused by something else. And so that condition seemed to progress more slowly and came on later in life. So there's a lot of factors that influence how quickly someone progresses. In general, they will progress if it's truly Alzheimer's, but how quickly they progress depends on if they have other factors that are accelerating that change.
Aaron emailed to say his mother is exhibiting signs of dementia, but his father is in denial and doesn't want to have her diagnosed. Any words of advice for him to help persuade his dad to have his mom tested?
That's a great question. That's why we have memory clinics all over the state, is because we know that early diagnosis is helpful, because not only does it help get rid of things that maybe are contributing, like if there's if somebody's on a medication that causes negative thinking of changes, then they can stop that medicine or pick a new one. So there's a lot of things we can do to help protect people's memory. And the other thing, too, it opens up access to resources. So if you find out someone has Alzheimer's, then you can go to local community agencies and find out resources that they have, caregiver support, all kinds of things. So we really encourage people to get diagnosed early. It tends to be a scary thing, but If the disease is there, the disease is there. It's not going to change whether or not you know about it. But having the, you know, knowledge is power and helps people access resources and support they need.
It's, and the support, I mean, for those who are supporting folks with Alzheimer's, that is a very difficult job.
It's a very difficult job. I think you both have lived it personally.
So the help that's available for those folks, maybe you could talk a bit about that.
We have strong partnerships with our state Department of Health Services, and they have a program throughout the whole state of Wisconsin. Every county and tribe in the state has an Aging Disability Resource Center, or ADRC, and within each ADRC, there's a dementia care specialist. And that person is trained to connect people with resources in their counties, so whether that be day programs or caregiver support groups or in-home resources. But again, looking at the Aging and Disability Resource Centers, finding their dementia care specialist, and I encourage my patients and families just to call them and say, this is my situation. What resources do you think would be helpful for me? Making it simple.
Sometimes it's just people having a chance to get away from.
Yes.
Because the people I know who have been involved in this, often they're the only one, or there's not a lot of help from anybody else.
Yes.
A family member or something.
I think every caregiver says they waited too long to get help. Everyone I've talked to who said they wish they had asked for help earlier.
And lots of communities and hospitals and support groups will have adult daycares where you can take your family member with dementia and get a break.
Yeah, and I can remember my mother actually, at least at the one stage, mid-stage maybe, really enjoying going to those events that happened to be in Sun Prairie, but she really had a wonderful time.
And that's what I encourage families too. Again, the person living with dementia can be a great blessing to the other people there and enjoy it and you know, be a resource and someone for someone else to talk to as well. So,
and I remember taking my mother to the Villas Park Zoo. I could take her there every weekend, and it was always like a new experience.
You can take me there every weekend, and I'll enjoy it too.
Oh, gosh. And Bill, let's go back to how people can. There's the event this weekend on the 14th.
There is the event on the 14th at the Tarnina Brewing Company in Lake Mills, Wisconsin. And if, for example, you have a son or a daughter graduating and you're not able to make it, or if it's your day at the ballpark, then by all means, there's Minds Over Mountains UW. That page will take you to everything we do and how you can contribute and how you can get on board. But if you are able to make it to the Tarnina Brewing Company, it's an amazing day of fundraising, yes, fellowship, and absolutely a good time because the Jimmies are worth the price of admission, which, of course, is zero. So if you find the value of the entertainment in that place on that day in excess of the cover charge, there will be an opportunity that you can donate to the initiative.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking with both of you today. I want to thank you both very much for being with us and for the work you're both doing, actually. I know it's a long... I'm not going to live to see the end of Alzheimer's, unfortunately, but...
Well, when it started out, I met Steve Ramig, and I said, man, I don't want my kids to have to worry about the same Alzheimer's as I do. And his response was, Bill, it may not be too late for you. That's how close we are. So, and things change by the minute.
Well, hopefully with some more funding and some more dollars and the great people we have here at UW and elsewhere, We're going to get a handle on it.
Well, and Larry, we have, on a complete aside, God bless you and thank you for 50 solid years. One of our auction items is a Joe Thomas autographed jersey, the Iron Man of the NFL, 10 years, never missed a snap. You were in that seat for 50 years longer than Joe Thomas played football, so.
Well, it's been my pleasure and my honor to do it. And I want to thank you both.
Thank you so much for bringing attention to this and for your contributions to our community and beyond.
Bill Stork and Dr. Cynthia Carson. Dr. Cindy Carson is the director of the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Institute. Bill Stork, of course, Lake Mills veterinarian, but he's organized a fundraiser for Alzheimer's research this coming Sunday. Or if you can't make it there, go to Minds Over Mountain.
UW. Minds Over Mountains, UW.
And you can make your contribution there. And we're going to stay with Alzheimer's, but we're, you know, it come up a couple of times that we had a blood test for Alzheimer's, and we're going to go into the details with that with Dr. Nathaniel Chen. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.